Hello, I'm Dr. Barry Holzer.
And I'm Hani Holzer.
Welcome to Parent is a Verb on OURadio.org. Today, we're going to talk about motivating your child towards success, or how do I get my child motivated?
It's an incredibly important topic because it's a lifelong skill. Once you can motivate someone towards success, it stays with them pretty much forever. It's almost like what I would call a lifelong inoculation.
I think one of the challenges is that really being motivated and learning how to motivate yourself as, you know, a child gets older, they're learning how to motivate themselves, really can make a big difference in terms of their, not only their success, but their sense of satisfaction and their happiness and their feeling good about what they're doing. And so, you know, one of the problems we run into, of course, is that school in this area is pretty much a mixed bag.
Right. And, you know, also the one thing that, you know, sometimes I think about this once, particularly when I'm working with adolescents in my office, is if I just could give them a pill that they could take, the anti-apathy pill, the motivating pill, but it doesn't seem to be anything that we can synthetically give them that they can take and make it happen. It has to happen over time and almost from the very beginning of time.
Right. I think we have to recognize that almost all children are naturally born with a curiosity and a motivation to learn. They want to know, they explore the world around them from the time they're toddlers.
Now, even before that, when you see babies sticking everything in their mouths, that's also a learning process.
So that, you know, naturally, as humans, we want to understand the world around us. And unfortunately, we don't always nurture that excitement and interest properly. You know, some teachers in school are great motivators and they make learning exciting. And others can either be boring or they make learning a chore or they seem to, kids complain they're mean and, you know, their personality makes it unpalatable to learn and to be in the classroom with them. And our job is to make sure that the natural motivation and love of learning that we're born with is not squashed by formal education or other sources.
Right. And so the question is how do you promote and continue natural curiosity and motivate to ongoing learning, to natural learning?
I think that we have it with, you know, we all know kids who are good in certain subjects and they like certain subjects and don't like others. You know, I remember that I had a history teacher in high school and he used to read his notes and we had to write down the notes as he read them. You know, he dictated his notes to us and we just had to write word for word what he said. And that was history. I hated history. And in college, I tried to avoid taking history. And when I finally had to take history as a junior, I said, wow, this is history. I love history. And so, you know, how things are presented are often will depend on the motivation we have towards them. And really helping, you know, your child find their natural motivation and giving things a second chance and really opening their eyes to things that they might enjoy.
And I think, again, that too is a family value, that the world is a curious place and that we can, it's here for us to explore and to enjoy, can be a family value, ought to be a family value, if we're going to motivate children to be curious people and ongoing learners with great motivation to learn and to feel successful and to accomplish.
So what we want to do is give our children opportunities to enjoy their learning experience and to feel the sense of mastery, okay? To feel, to recognize the relationship between their efforts and success. You know, this, how, just telling kids how good and special and wonderful they are based on nothing in particular doesn't necessarily give them a sense of mastery and doesn't necessarily improve their self-esteem and make them feel better. But if I can give them something, a project to work on and to accomplish,
Usually based on something that they express interest in, that they're curious about, not something that I'm curious about or that I think they should know about, but really it could come very much from them.
But, you know, we have to expose our kids to different things for them to know what there is and what they might enjoy. And unfortunately, especially, you know, in the yeshiva system, we're also often very limited. They don't have classes where they can learn musical instruments. Usually don't have swimming. They don't have a variety of classes in art and so forth.
Or gardening.
Right. And so giving our kids experiences outside of the school experience, encouraging them to do art or music or taking them to museums, okay, letting them enjoy and appreciate what's there. You know, a kid's not going to be interested in art unless they've experienced art in a positive way. And then they're going to want to be able to create art on their own.
Right. And you make the good points, particularly about art, because it doesn't seem to be something that necessarily gets covered, at least in our school system, routinely. But in many metropolitan areas, there are wonderful programs that museums offer over the weekends or over school vacations where children can actively get involved in understanding art and learning more about it and creating their own art.
And the fact is that these things are important to us. As religious Jews, art, architecture, music were always part of our service to Hashem. The Shira of the Levium was part of the daily service in the Beis Hamikdash. They had musical instruments and a choir, and we think, you know, because the Goyim borrowed it, we think that it's theirs, but it really was ours. The fact that, you know, the Mishkan had all these artisans working to create a beautiful structure with beautiful art in it, and it really was an artistic structure. And clearly, the Beis Hamikdash, you know, I mean, you know, the Gemara talks about how if someone who didn't see the beauty of the Beis Hamikdash never saw beauty in his life. So that it's not like these are concepts that are antithetical, but clearly they've become secondary because of the limited time we have to educate our kids in the so much that we want them to learn and to know these days.
And I think also those ancillary things outside of school, like learning to become a good swimmer, feeling accomplished around something, a skill like that, or feeling accomplished around a mastery of music or art, only enhances a student or a child's skills and motivation, there's the word again, to accomplish and to do well in other areas of their life, because they feel mastery in other areas so that they know they can master that. That's an intrinsically good feeling that spills out into other areas.
Right. And I think it's important you point that out. By the way, you know, the Mishnah says that it's one of the things a father is required to teach his child is to learn how to swim.
Yes.
And so as much as that we don't have that as part of our formal education, that's one of the things we really have to do with our kids. But I think you're right. The ability, even if your kid's not a star student, but if they can find some area where they feel a sense of mastery, where they feel accomplishment, that's going to make them feel better about their ability to accomplish in general.
And creates a real positive sense of self. So when you have a positive sense of self, that could be external to academics, well, it really could very much enhance your academics. And if academics are still challenging to you, even though you can master other things, well, you've mastered other things, so you're not a big zero. You have mastery in other areas that may make school, you know, you might be challenged in school, but you have mastery in other areas. You're a person who can do, can accomplish, can feel good.
And I think it's important that each child, you know, value what they learn and be able to share what they learn, okay? Be able to share their accomplishments, but even just be able to share different things so that when you're even having discussion around the table and have each child talk about some of the things that they've learned that they thought were interesting, that they were important, that they found important to them. And they're just the ability to own that and be proud of it and have it recognized and validated is, you know, makes their learning more important to them and therefore is motivating. So that there was a lot of sort of intrinsic things we can do to motivate our kids. I think even recognizing that mistakes are part of the learning process.
That's such a good point, because I think sometimes it's somewhere along the way, I don't know how or when, kids pick up that the worst thing that they could possibly do is make a mistake. And I think, you know, sometimes it happens, unfortunately, in school, because they'll try to answer a question in class and it's wrong and it's not always received well.
Right.
Especially for a sensitive child.
Right. And that's why I think learning from mistakes is a very important thing. I once used the vignette here about the teacher, the math teacher, who would go through each wrong answer and explain why it was wrong. And the kids weren't afraid to say an answer, because whether the answer was right or wrong, they were going to learn something from it. The teacher didn't treat it, the wrong answer, any differently than the right answer. She explained how they got the wrong answer, and they explained how they got the right answer.
Well, I've seen teachers there when children respond to questions, they'll say, not exactly. That's not exactly what I'm looking for. Can someone get it a little bit more exact? So they're not saying wrong, bad, no good. They're saying not exactly.
And the idea that mistakes are something we learn from, I know in medicine, they have M&M conferences in surgery, or morbidity and mortality conferences, where they review cases where the patient died or something went wrong, and they'd learn from the cases, because that's the only way to make better doctors. The only way to improve medicine is to learn from what we did. And if I don't learn from it, then it really was a waste. Now, I remember once watching a biography of Thomas Alva Edison, and he had his whole lab and workshop and developing the light bulb. And each day they would try a different filament and put it in a vacuum, create it and put it in the vacuum bulb and then test it out. But the testing was out area was upstairs. And so this young, eager assistant, one day he gave it to him to bring, a whole day's work towards the end of the day, to bring the bulb upstairs. And he was so eager, he ran up the steps, fell, and broke the bulb, and the whole day's work was lost. Well, the next day, they had to repeat the exact same experiment, right? And he called over the same young assistant, and he told him, the greatest thing about mistakes is that they can be corrected. And he gave him the bulb to carry up, and this time he didn't trip. And this time he was careful, and the experiment continued.
That's so powerful. That's very powerful. I mean, even when doing things at home, let's say it's something as simple or complicated, depending on who you are, as baking a cake, and it doesn't work out the first time. Well, that's a pain in the neck, but it's okay, because what did we do that, what happened to that the cake didn't come out the way it was supposed to? How could we do it differently next time? That's wonderful modeling. We don't have to get it right the first time, but we could get it right eventually.
Right. And for, in some situations, to get it perfect five times, you do it eight times. You make eight cakes and five of them come out really well.
Right.
And,
are you talking about the Pesach sponge cakes?
That's another whole story. But the fact is that that's it. Everything that kids are involved with, they can get a sense of mastery. And some kids are going to love being in the kitchen.
Let's just say you say, I'm not a curious person, so I don't know how to, kind of instill that in my child and encourage that in my child. You don't have to be a curious person yourself. There are so many books that are made for children that can create and motivate curiosity and mastery that it becomes simple. You can learn anything. Let's just say you're not a baker. You can become a baker with them, or they can become baker and learn mastery through that and learn motivation to persist.
There are cookbooks specifically made for kids.
Absolutely.
And they have a grand time making stuff and doing stuff. And so if you have a birthday in the house, you might want to start celebrating it by just making the cake.
And what a wonderful, wonderful life lesson that you know, persistence is what it's about. And the stick-to-itness is what it's about. Because isn't that what it really is about later on in life? Persistence and stick-to-itness.
And I think making things family projects or group projects so that even if one child is not over that motivated, but the motivation becomes contagious.
Absolutely.
If everybody's doing it, then we all want to do it together.
I remember when we rag-painted our guest room. It had been painted, but I didn't like the way the paint looked because things had started cracking, and I thought if we ragged over it, it would look a little bit less unattractive. And we all became painters. Little by little, everyone joined me in the room, and we were all ragging together. So much so that some of the kids actually really do believe that they're very good house painters and have gone on to make money doing house painting in the summertime.
Hey, until they learn that it's a lot of work. But it, again, you know, it was a motivating experience because it was a positive experience because we were able to enjoy the experience together.
Right.
And that's a really motivating factor as well.
Right. And the beauty of rag painting was that it really, it doesn't matter what it looks like. It always looks perfect because it's just a smush on the wall.
Right. And it reminds me of Tom Sawyer in Painting the Fence.
Right.
You know, Tom Sawyer had to whitewash the fence and he made it seem like so much fun and so exciting that he got everybody else to do it for him.
Right.
But that's the thing. If things are presented in a positive way and something's a new experience, a fun experience that we can enjoy, then people really want to do it. Now, in terms of motivation, right, certainly in terms of kids in school, there's a lot of external motivation that we use. Right, we use a lot of behavior, you know, we'll sometimes use behavior charts and daily report cards, reward systems, and, you know, trying to give rewards to kids for work that they do in school so that the reward is not necessarily the schoolwork itself, right, but the reward is an extrinsic reward. Now, there are some arguments that the extrinsic reward, it creates, you know, an interest in the goal, in the prize, and not really an interest in the project itself.
Right, and some studies show that it makes kids pick the easy way out often so that they can just get the prize.
Yeah, but I'm a big believer in what Chazal say, mitol shelo lishma ba lishma. In other words, if I do something enough, even not because I'm motivated, okay, for an external motivation, eventually I'll appreciate its own value. And sometimes I think the issue is what's the external motivation? And the external motivation, if I'm giving huge prizes, right, if you get $5 every time you finish your homework, okay, you get $10 every time you have a good day in school, then yes, the prize becomes the value in and of itself. But if the prize is that, you know, you get a star for the homework and a star for good in school, and if you get enough stars at the end of the week, we go out for pizza, okay, then the prize really becomes the relationship you have and building the relationship. And the doing well in school, right, is really something that the parent is then rewarding with basically saying, I'm proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what the prize is. And if the parent shows importance, gives it importance, and says, I'm proud, the child eventually will as well.
Well, I totally agree that the reward needs to be more symbolic and reinforcing of the underlying message, which is, I'm proud of you, I care about you, and you are doing well is wonderful and it's important to me. Because your success is important to me.
You know, I question whether the problem is using extrinsic motivations or what type of external motivations we use. And so I think that you really can sometimes use external motivations for kids. You can get kids motivated to do better in school by giving them a reward system, especially with younger children, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, in the earlier grades. So in elementary school, but you've got to be careful that the reward doesn't become so big in and of itself that becomes a separate goal into itself.
I remember one elementary school that we were involved in rewarded the children with books, And by the time, there were so many reward systems built into that school system that by the time your child graduated in eighth grade, depending on how they, you know, if they chose to participate in a lot of the reward systems, they could walk away with a library at the end, which I thought was nice because it's an educational institution and the kids were getting books. We had experience, I remember, once with a synagogue where the kids got all kinds of sports equipment for attending services well on Shabbat, and they came home with basketballs, and I'm not sure what a basketball had to do with attending youth minyan well. I was confused about that.
Right. But on the other hand, I remember being in shul, and there was one person who was the candy man, used to let the kids take candy for each aliyah they followed inside.
Right.
And it was on the honor system. But they used to come up, and they used to take, you know, this candy and that candy. Everybody went home with a little bag of candy. Now, most of the candy probably got thrown out weeks later because there was too much to eat. But the idea that they got these little candies, and again, you know, we're talking about getting a lollipop or a little few other little candies, sucking candies. We're not talking about a huge reward, but it became almost a thing of pride of how much candy you walked out of shul with.
Right.
Okay. That really, I think, worked very nicely because even when the kids weren't getting the candy anymore, they still followed the laning.
Right.
And all the kids stayed inside for the laning as opposed to a lot of shuls where they're running around outside.
It was a good symbolic reward on some level. But like you said, probably most of the candy went in the garbage. But it had just enough weight without it being too weighty and too overwhelming so that it was just about the gift, the prize.
So, you know, creating external motivations and offering motivations to kids can really work as well. But the main thing is that we want to create the situation, you know, even for external motivations to work, the kid has to have success at it. We want them to be successful so that, you know, we want to create the situation. We don't want to create a reward based on something that's going to be too difficult for them to do. We want to create a reward based on something that is very doable, but it's going to require effort. So they know they worked for it, okay, and they can feel good about the fact that I earned this and I worked for it. And yet, it's something that is, you know, they come to recognize over time, it's really the earning it. It's the studying, it's the learning, it's what I've gained along the way. You know, it's the striving that's most important. It's not, you know, the prize in the end that's really the goal.
And it's accomplishment and mastery.
Now, fortunately, we live in a society, in a school, where everybody's trying to get the better grades, to, you know, get the better school, and, you know, there's a lot of competitive stuff that takes away, I think, from really enjoying the learning. And that's why a lot of yeshivas really, you know, they don't like the idea of grading. They want, you know, Torah should be learned l'shma, and the kids should appreciate it for its own sake. And certainly there are kids who, because of that, really enjoy their learning Torah, but don't really enjoy their other subjects because they feel they've been pressured into it and forced on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Bottom line is that you want to use what kids are learning in school to help them with mastery and feel successful about what they're doing. You want to use a lot of the time outside of school to, you know, to find teachable moments in whatever they're doing. Let them feel, you know, learn from whatever they're doing. Appreciate the value in what they're doing.
Right, and I think not everything in terms of mastery has to be as highfalutin, if you will, as the art or the music. But, you know, children can feel successful by doing things around the house. Chores are a wonderful way to feel successful and motivated. Job well done.
And if they plant a tomato plant or some cucumbers in the backyard, and, you know, everybody's eating their vegetables.
Setting a table for a Shabbos meal with, you know, with everything that goes into that, all the details, you know, the dishes, the glasses, the cutlery in the right places.
Being involved in a simcha by doing anything from setting up to making, you know, fancy cookies or baking something or cooking, you know, helping out in some way and feeling part of it.
Mm-hmm, yes.
I think that, Now, it's important that we recognize that school is not always going to motivate our kids towards the learning that we want them to enjoy. And not all of us had such positive experiences in school that we enjoy the learning that much. But you can make the learning a more positive experience for your kid and let them know that this is valuable, this is important. If you're excited by the fact that they're able to learn, your attitude is going to be as big a motivating factor as anything else.
Encouragement, acceptance, interest.
And unfortunately, you know, I think for parents who haven't had good school experiences, this is quite a challenge sometimes. But I think you have to find, everybody has to find the things that they've enjoyed and they've mastered and share that with your child.
Absolutely, whether that's a love of gardening, a love of baking, a love of the library.
Or just really knowing how to throw a football in a good spiral.
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, I think that recognizing that this, the whole idea of motivation is something that can be accomplished, that naturally kids want to learn, and motivating them is really, you know, if you have an environment which you facilitate and they have an opportunity to choose activities that they can really enjoy and work at and master, now they can connect with their learning and their experience, and it makes it that much more enjoyable and motivates them more. Now, we hope this was helpful to you, and we thank you for joining us again for Parent is a Verb on OUradio.org. If you have any questions or comments, please send them to parentisaverb@ou.org. Thank you, and have a good day.